This is Blaine Reed, IPM agent for Hill and Swisher County, talking to us about our weekly IPM program we're posting right now. I'm in a little bit of a lockdown, so I haven't been able to get out in the fields this week, but we did have a pretty good weather event, a lot of cold weather, and quite a bit of snow stuck to the ground for quite some time out there. And of course, that'll infect our soil temperatures quite a bit, but I think our more immediate concern is this wheat out here that a lot of folks were wanting to take to grain. How is it impacted? Does it have cold damage? Are those heads going to be healthy when they come out? You know, with wheat, with the price actually being one commodity that was holding, some of these folks were deciding to keep it for grain a little bit longer than use it for cover or hay this year, and maybe trim back on a little bit of the uncertain crops for the summer. But, you know, if we've got damaged wheat heads, frozen heads, that's something we need to take consideration on very, very quickly. Now, we don't want to run out right after a freeze the next day. We're not going to be able to tell anything. In fact, you're not going to be able to tell at the wheat just by looking at it right now, even though it is joining up. What we need to do is take a pretty good sharp pocket knife and pluck several of these stems from across the field and dissect down to that growing point. What you want to do is take it from about the soil level and start a dissection, or maybe feel where that wheat head is and start below that and splice that stem right in the middle so that you cut that growing point out all the way through. And then once you've got that growing point exposed or dissected down to, you need to take a good look at it. And this is why you've got to wait a few days to really see the impacts of the weather to see if it's really hurt that head or not. If it has, some of that head might be mushy, or it might have turned an off-white. Now, a lot of those heads might be those little bitty heads in there that are going to be still pretty small. They were looking real healthy last week, but they might have a greenish-white tint to them. Don't, you know, mistake that blasted white as a few kernels for that greenish tint. Don't confuse a healthy, light, white-green tint with a dead kernel. That it will be pretty stark. Of course, a dead plant or a dead head would of course, be mush in that growing point, and that wheat might try to start from a new growing point and start all over again. Either way, our yields have really been damaged from coming from a secondary head or the loss of a percentage of the head that's growing there. Another thing that might happen is we might have some vascular damage, especially if the snow hung around for a little while and really affected the base of that plant. And we could be dealing with later on some vascular collapse of that hollowed out structure that supports that head. So I think we need to give it about 3 or 4 days after this cold, today being day one. If we come back and look at it in 3 or 4 days, we should have a pretty good idea of what damage was done to the wheat. And I would say if we start getting over 20% of the heads or 20% of the potential grain damaged, we need to move pretty quickly and use this wheat for another option, either try to graze it out this spring or bale it pretty soon or maybe even silage it, which the hay and silage would be damaged a little bit too, but seems a little bit more salvageable than 20% of the grain loss off the top. And for Pat, that's one main thing I've got going on up here. I think maybe John Toby might have a few things to speak of in his neck of the woods.
Hi, this is John Toby, IPM agent for Bailey, Castro, and Palmer County. Blaine, we're seeing a little bit of that in the wheat fields. Been out last week. I got to go see a little bit of green bug activity, a little bit of the predators building up along with that wheat. Got to see that before the freeze, and then after this call, I'll actually be going out to a couple of the wheat fields to go take a look at some of that and to see if I can see some of that damage. I'm actually going out to a barley field as well to see if that has the same effect out there. Seen a lot of the guys around here getting a lot of the field prep in for some of the longer season crops, corn, cotton, things like that, but a lot of the guys are keeping a lot of this wheat for grain. Seems like there's a lot of different kind of variations and kind of how everybody wants to do their stuff this year. Everybody's kind of holding on to that wheat a little longer than what we've seen in a couple years past. So it's definitely something we want to keep an eye on with that freezing activity. And I hope that that's our last freeze that we'll see, and we'll go from there.
Hi, everybody. This is Dagan Teague, IPM agent for Floyd and Crosby counties. And I got to jump into some wheat fields last week, and I was starting to see some heads out. So kind of going back to what Blaine was saying, you know, you need to watch out for that freeze and get out there and make sure that it's dissected to make sure it's all right for harvest.
Dagan, how were some of the diseases over there close to the edge of the cap rock in your wheat?
We're seeing a little bit of rust in there, but nothing, I guess, to worry about. I mean, I guess you worry about it anyways, but like I said, I only got to jump into two fields, so I'm not sure if it was for the whole county or anything like that. The two fields were right next to each other, so.
This is Kerry Siders, IPM agent Hockley, Cochran, and Lamb counties, and, of course, the result of this cool weather is impacted our soil temperatures quite a bit. If you can just imagine a pretty good bell-shaped curve looking back to the end of March, on March 31st. Now, this is USDA NRCS data from a what's called a scan weather station. There's several of them in an array from West Lubbock County into New Mexico, and we've got one just right here in Levelland. It's a pretty elaborate weather station. It has soil moisture and soil temperature readings every 2 inches to a depth of near 40 inches. And I'm using the 6-inch data here to kind of paint you a picture of what the temperature has happened over the last really 15 days. So on March 31st, the 6-inch soil temperature was right at 61 degrees. So really good soil temperature. Now for cotton, of course, we're looking for 65 and above and consistently at that temperature and continuing to rise. We don't want to see the dips like we've seen here over the last couple of weeks. Now around the 3rd of April, it did get up to 65 degrees, and that's when we had that cold snap about 10 days ago around the 4th and the 5th when we saw some freezing temperature. So it brought it down to near 60 degrees Fahrenheit, but then it went back up around April the 9th, hit about a 66 and a half degree temperature, and then it's been on a steady decline since then. And this morning, as of 7 o'clock, at that 6-inch depth, our soil temperature here was 57 degrees. Now, you know, we can look at the 2-inch and the 8-inch all around that, and it reflects really that same trend. So anybody that's, you know, excited about jumping in there here in the next week or so, I hope that kind of paints a little bleak picture that maybe we ought to wait, you know, until at least May 1st. I know there's some reason for some folks to maybe jump in to try to get, you know, gain that length of season. But right now with these soil temperatures, it's just way too cold for cotton, number one. Now, if we're looking at grain, sorghum, corn, you know, we've got a base of, 55. We can probably go here pretty soon. In fact, you know, even the end of this week, we're supposed to be back in the 80s tomorrow. But these soil temperatures, I think from this point on, we'll see a pretty steady increase in these 6-inch soil temperatures. But you never know. We still see, you know, a dip down into the low 30s anytime over the next week or so. But I think once we get past the 25th, we're generally out of those mid to low 30s, and typically it's rare to even see even below 40 degrees at that point. So that's just kind of a picture that to temper your enthusiasm about cotton planting for a while.
This has been a production of the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service Entomology Department here on the High Plains of Texas.